Hey, Matt, long time no see.
Indeed, Thomas. It's been a whole 2 weeks. Much has changed.
Yeah. You haven't changed that much, though.
I haven't.
No extra facial hair.
No extra facial hair.
You haven't grown a moustache. You did that once.
Oh, like, I grew it in your absence, but I shaved it. It kind of became symbiotic as I pulled it off the razor and kind of crawled and tried to kill a few people. But it's all cleared up now.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about video games.
Oh, yeah. Well, why not? That's what we're here for, isn't it?
Tom, Matt, Attack. Yeah, hello, Thomas. Killer moustaches aside, how the devil are you?
I'm actually very well. I had a lovely break back in the UK. So
good
the family
to hear.
And my girlfriend, and an all-round fun time was had by all, I'd say. Feel very relaxed coming back.
Nice. Well, the sun is shining. You're in Denmark. It is a beautiful 22 degrees. Mm. It's barbecue weather, Thomas. So naturally,
sure
we're going to sit inside and talk about games.
Yeah.
Because that's what
we do. Of course we are, because we'll do that for you.
We'll do that for you, listener.
And
you got
we enjoy
that?
It anyway.
We will.
Let's have a natter. What have you been playing, Matthew?
What have I been playing, Thomas? Well, actually, I've been rather busy.
Have you played anything?
Quite a bit in your absence. I delved finally into a bit of a Towerfall Ascension on the PlayStation 4.
Mm. How does it compare to the Ouya version?
Well, multiplayer and stuff is pretty much the same. There are some new characters which are unlockable. There are some new stages which, again, are unlockable through playing multiple matches and stuff. The characters themselves are a bit more like Smash Brothers in the fact you have to do certain tasks to unlock them.
Hmm.
But what makes this version a standout version for me is the two-player quest mode, which me and my good friend Austin Carlson were playing just the other week. We pretty much sat here for most of a Sunday because it was absolutely belting down with rain outside.
Oh, that's a good time to play video games, isn't
it? It was.
You don't feel guilty.
No, you don't. I'd been car booted in the morning, but it kind of clouded over by the evening. I'll talk about what games I got there a little later on. But we sat down and I didn't really have that high hopes for it. We'd started by playing something else and then I was like, oh, well, you're here. We'll play a bit of Towerfall. And we played a few multiplayer matches and they were fun and he was remarking how much he thought it was like Smash Brothers in the simplicity of it and really enjoyed the game.
Did he mention anything about feeling like Goldeneye?
No, he didn't, I don't think. I think that's just you, Tom.
That was my analogy. But
that's your analogy.
That was the quick gameplay sessions, a deathmatch, quick gameplay, very easy to play and pick up.
Yeah.
To me, you know, it felt like that same sort of concept.
Well, it is, you know, it's kind of got that very quick, round aesthetic to it that something like GoldenEye has. Mm. But when we dived into the quest mode, Tom, I'm not kidding you, me and you need to play it because it is the most fantastic thing I think two players can do on a next-gen console. It's the closest experience I've had to a retro gaming experience on a next-gen console.
And if you crave retro.
And that's even without the aesthetic. Like, aesthetic aside, it's just the pure gameplay aspect of it. The fact that you are just surrounded so much by monsters and things in this two-player option is fantastic. The concept of it is essentially a lot of mobs spawn in the area, loads of like brightly coloured monsters that kind of remind me a bit of Bubble Bobble sprites and like classic Nintendo feel to everything. Mm. And you go around the level and you just kill everything. You get to the last wave, kind of like Horde mode in Gears of War, but on a 2D platformy aesthetic. And it's fun. Like, you can go up and down through the bottom of the levels, much like you could in something like Bubble Bobble. And it's very skill-based. So much so that some of the tougher levels we tried playing on hardcore, we just couldn't do. Because they're hard. And there's a definite sense of reward there. Like, the kind of reward that you want to feel when you play a game and you complete a level. And you're like, yeah, I did it! There's even some boss fights in there, which are also very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really recommend. If you haven't got it yet and you own a PS4, please, please, please go buy Towerfall Ascension. Because the quest mode alone for two-player co-op is amazing and it is, with a shadow of a doubt, my favourite multiplayer game to play, I think. I'm really looking forward to having some people over to play four-player again.
Strong contender for best multiplayer game of the year.
Probably, yeah.
Come when we
I'm pretty sure it won it last year, right? I'm sure Towerfall on the Ouya won best multiplayer, but maybe best co-op experience will have to be a category this year. Yeah. What about yourself, Tom?
When I was back home, I played a lot of games socially. Always whip out the old GameCube once I'm back home. And always play Pac-Man Versus without a second thought.
Yeah.
It's just one of the most fun multiplayer games you can play.
It's on the GameCube, right?
It's on the GameCube. Unique in the fact that you use the Game Boy Advance as the fourth controller.
Oh, that's cool.
And that player is Pac-Man and the rest of you are the ghosts on the screen. And Pac-Man can see everything, but the ghosts can only see a small area around them as the screen split into three. And you've got to try and avoid Pac-Man.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Apologies if I was far away from the mic then. Mario Kart Double Dash, always a firm favourite.
Of course.
And Mario Smash Tennis, is that what it's called?
I think so.
The one on the...
That sounds about right.
That's a great fast-paced tennis game. You know, once you get those special moves in there, you know, one person hits the ball to a special move, hit it back to another special move, it's just chaos. It's an awful lot of fun. And a little bit of, was it Rock Band? Yes, a little bit of Rock Band as well.
Delved into a little bit of Rock
Band. Whipped out the
earlier,
old drums.
Actually.
Yeah, and earlier today we were playing Rock Band 3.
Yeah.
That was great fun, wasn't it? I jumped on and joined you on bass.
Yes.
At one point.
At a Paramore, I was playing A Misery Business and doing a miserable job of it because I don't play Guitar Hero or anything like that in a long run. And you jumped in and we had some fun.
And before that, I was sitting there for, I think it was at least an hour, playing through my own set lists.
But you were playing pretty flawlessly. Like, I thought you were listening to YouTube videos and then I came in.
I was happy with that. But it was great fun and it gave the fingers a good exercise. Other than that, on my own, you know, single-player gaming experience, I've been playing a couple of things. I'm playing Pokemon Diamond, first of all. I've been picking that up, you know, on and off for a while now. And I'm getting somewhere with it.
Yeah.
I'd say I've got 6 badges on the way to getting a 7th. It's a really good game. I kind of wrote it off first time round. It was the game that I decided, that was it, no more Pokemon for
me. I think that was kind of the same for me, but I did win my copy of Diamond when it came out. Yes. I won it off a contest online, and so I played it a little bit, and then was like, oh, I'm okay with it, maybe I'll keep it, and then it was back in a time where money was few and far between, and then I saw the trading value, and I was like, ah, okay, I'll let it go and get something I really want.
Yeah, I traded in my copy of Pearl.
Yeah.
First time round as well for Mario Kart DS, which funny enough I traded in again.
Really?
Yeah. For Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Wow. Yeah. Do you regret that decision in hindsight?
Well, I got Mario Kart. You know, I didn't actually like playing Mario Kart on the DS. So
really? I really liked the Game Boy Advance one. Like,
yeah, I played that a lot. And then because I couldn't really find anyone to play with on the DS version.
Ah, oh, I see.
Well, I was actually pressured into getting it by some guys at work who I work with. He said, we're going to do this regular thing. We're going to play Mario Kart, you know, in the week. But it never quite worked out.
Sounds like a Matt Boyle harebrained scheme to me.
In the end, I wasn't playing it much. But I play Mario Kart 8, funny enough, you know, when I'm traveling. Not 8. I skipped one there, didn't I? 8's a new one.
Yeah,
it's because I got it on the mind. 7. A fair bit on 3DS, and I haven't felt inclined to trade that one in yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a bit of Pokemon, enjoying that. You know, I feel like I'm getting somewhere with it. Also, Rayman Legends, still with the portable gaming. You can see I've been travelling.
Yeah.
Apart from the social gaming, it was only really when I was travelling I was playing, besides one other game, which I'll come to in a moment. But Rayman Legends on the PS Vita was my game I played coming back to Denmark. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
As I talked on the podcast last time, how much I liked Origins.
Yes.
And I still haven't finished Origins, but I've been playing Legends on the go and enjoying it very much.
Cool. Believe it or not, I've also been doing a lot of traveling. I had an impromptu trip to Prague in your absence, as you know. And I picked up a copy of Super Mario Sticker Stars for the 3DS, just because it was at a bargain price of 49 krona. And I was like, well, I'm not going to pass that RPG action. I'm going to play it. I didn't, though. However, I actually read on the trip instead.
I did a bit of that as well.
A great book, or at least I'm almost at the end of a great book by a guy called Ernest Cline, called Ready Player One, which some of you might be familiar with. If you really like retro gaming and 80s culture, films, movies and stuff, it's really made for you. It evolves around essentially a couple of years down the line. The world's kind of gone to shit and corporations and stuff are kind of taken over and the world's in mass unemployment. But this MMO called Oasis kind of takes over the world and everyone starts living in virtual reality and paying for things with like in-game credit and all this kind of stuff. And it's really a great game, and it's essentially about a contest that takes place in that world. The maker of the game Oasis sets up this contest in which he hides Easter eggs throughout the game and then says, well, like, if you can find all these things and unlock these three gates, you'll get my fortune. And it's essentially about a guy called Wade who's trying to figure out all these things and trying to unlock his fortune. Really, really good book. Really thrilling. It's written for, like, it's like a teen adult novel, but it's so catered towards my tastes, at least, that it's a thrilling read.
I'd heard about this. I think it was recommended somewhere else, online, perhaps, or I perhaps heard a podcast where they talked about it. But yeah, that's just hammered it home that I need to read this one.
I think you do. Yeah. It's a really fantastic book. Yeah, something we usually don't do, a literary review.
But it is,
heavily
games.
Yeah.
I have played something else.
Really?
This is a different one. Rocksmith.
Oh, really?
Okay.
So did you give it a go, finally?
Yeah, I got to give it a go. I couldn't really understand what I was doing. I understood that, you know, you can do these guitar lessons where that kind of talks you through it. But when you go into, like, the quick play, you know, it's sort of like a Guitar Hero rock band setup, but using a real guitar.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit confusing how, I mean, Claire, my girlfriend, who plays guitar and she's relatively good at it. Well, she's very good at it. And she couldn't quite work out what was going on.
Okay.
Either. You know, she could play the stuff, but actually transposing that and getting it right in the game was more difficult, knowing when to actually
strum or anything.
And
that.
Also how it branches off into two, like, scales at one point. And yeah, but she got used to it the more she played it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's something I need to spend more time with. And for me, not being that great a guitarist, I'm really going to benefit from playing through the tutorials, which seem really good. And if it's good for anything, good for tuning guitar.
Really?
If you've not got quite the musical ear yet for tuning, then it goes through the tuning in a much better way than any guitar tuner around ever has.
Really?
For me, at least.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and it can tune to different songs, and it helps get the exact tuning for whatever song you're trying to play.
Yeah.
So it's a great package, one I really want to get stuck back into again.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I probably won't be able to because I've not got it here. And I've not got an electric guitar here. So
that's a shame.
Yeah. But come the summertime, I'm going to be ploughing straight back into that one, I think.
Yeah, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Rock that axe. You're wearing a Kiss t-shirt.
I sure am.
Is that why you played a bit of Guitar Hero and Rock Band? Were you just like, oh, well, I can't play?
Well, I played it when I was back because I was into this. I've been playing Rocksmith, haven't I? It was the fact that I struck with Rocksmith. I wanted to play something easier.
Yeah, fair enough.
So get the same sort of thrill without the musicianship.
Yeah. It makes me laugh. Have you seen the episode of South Park with the Guitar Hero episode?
No, I haven't.
And they're all there, sat in front of the TV playing songs on Rock Band. I think it's like Wayward Son.
Yeah, yeah. That's like a good carry.
Yeah.
Wayward Son.
And Stan's dad goes into the cupboard and gets his guitar out, and he's like, hey, I could teach you kids how to play real guitar if you want. And he starts like playing the solo of Wayward Son and stuff, and they just look at him like he's an idiot. It's like, what are you doing? Why would I want to do that? Like, it's a great episode. You should watch it. Have you been buying anything?
Yes,
any chance?
Yes, I have. What's this pile of games on the table, Matthew, you may ask?
It is a rather large pile of games. I also have a pile of games of a regular size. I haven't got mine on the table though. Mine are in my mind.
Yeah, mine weren't, hence why I had to pick and put them on the table.
But I'm going to dive straight into, what I do every time when we start off our buying section, A Link to the Past.
Oh, I've been waiting for this, Matt.
Have you really?
Yeah, with bated breath since you told me you wrote it earlier.
A Link to the Past, a game at the time of its release in Europe, September 24th, 1992, had already held the charts in America for 2 months solid, never failing to leave the Nintendo Power SNES Power Charts until the end of this run in 1998. Meaning the game consistently sold for almost 6 years straight. The sixth Pokemon in the original lineup is Charizard, a big old fire-breathing lizard. Lizardon, as he's known in Japan, was created by Ken Sugimori, the man to design the original 151 Pokemon, but also designed the great action platformer for the Genesis, Pulseman. The character of Beatrice in Pulseman, a supporting character similar to Roll in Mega Man, is called Rice for short in the game. Rice is the dish that often accompanies curry, but is not surprisingly the name of a character in Sorcery Saga, Curse of the Great Curry God, a 2013 reimagining for the PS Vita of the 1989 game Madai Montgomery, a game whose characters would later feature in the Puyo Puyo games. Puyo is a tile-matching game made originally by Compile and later by Sonic Team, who also developed the great puzzle game for the Dreamcast, Choo Choo Rocket, which I bought on the Game Boy Advance factory sealed while in Prague. Ooh.
Oh, well done.
Thank you. Took some effort to get that one out. But yeah, I picked up while I was in Prague on my impromptu visit. I just kind of poached into a music shop and was selling a load of really cool vinyl in the window. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they've got anything else. So I went in, and at the back of the store, lo and behold, there was a big bargain bin full of Game Boy Advance games, PS1 and PS2 games. Nothing really of note on either system, really, other than Psychedin Tactics for the PS2, which I picked up factory seal. Unfortunately, the seal was a bit dead, so I just bust the game out of it anyway because it wouldn't have been worth keeping in, and I want to play it. And copy of Choo Choo Rocket on the Game Boy Advance, which was factory sealed, and I'm going to keep as a nice little token thing because it's in mint condition, and it makes me smile anytime I look at it because I love that game.
I mean, one day some guy is going to come up to you and offer you an obscene amount of money for your sealed copy of Choo Choo Rocket.
I don't really think it's worth that much, to be honest. I think it's probably worth about a tenner sealed, but like, I just wanted it. Like, I saw it, and I love the art style of Choo Choo Rocket, and just, it's in such good nick, and I was just kind of like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. It's a game I missed out on at the time, so I'm going to rectify that now by having a brand new copy. It's good times. I just picked up loads of stuff in these last 2 weeks, to be honest.
You did? I don't actually know, I don't think, exactly what you've picked up.
I've picked up quite a few things. No, I don't think you do. I picked up a copy of Bomberman 2 today for the DS, which I'm going to get out of the way because it was 40 krona. I won a Bomberman game, and this one offers 8-player local play with only one cart, which I thought was a bargain. So it means a lot of us can sit around with DSs and 3DSs and play a bit of Bomberman.
But why would you do that?
Because I want to play Bomberman with
when
people.
When you could play it on the TV.
Yeah, but then everyone would be sharing the same screen and stuff. Like, yeah. I imagine the map would be a lot bigger and you can get a lot more done if you're on your
DS. Oh, well, I'd like to try it.
I'd like to give it a go. I picked up a DSi off a good friend of ours, Julian, who was leaving, unfortunately, for Japan. With that, I got Brain Training, more Brain Training, the sight training game from Nintendo, Dragon Quest, Metal Slug, 82 games in one or something.
Oh, DS card. That's that one, isn't it?
Which one?
That one with all the games on.
It is that one with all the games on. You're an asshole. And I got a French crossword game, which as my French is très magnifique, I will be getting a lot of use out of.
Learn that.
I could learn French, yeah. Living in Denmark, I'm sure it'll come in very handy.
I'll learn how to play guitar. You can learn how to speak French. We can start a French rock band.
We could, yeah. I could wear my makeup and sing along and just be like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
ooh,
that's how French people sing, I'm sorry. I got a load of other things as well, but I'll talk about them in a minute. What have you been buying, Thomas?
First of all, a game that's not in this pile, I got Guilty Gear X Advance.
Okay.
The Game Boy Advance, funnily enough.
Wowzers, I didn't even realise it was a Guilty Gear game on the Advance.
Yeah, it's one of the few Guilty Gear games I don't own, one of the few Game Boy Advance fighters I don't own as well.
Yeah.
It actually is quite impressive. There's not the detail that's there in the other versions, of course.
Of course.
But at least the fighters move fluidly. They seem to have their move sets.
Yeah.
The music is even admirably emulated.
Yeah.
As much as you can with the Game Boy Advance. So I'm pretty happy with that purchase. It was rather cheap. I'm meaning to pick that one up for quite some time. So I wasn't disappointed by it, I have to say. Other than that, I went out this morning with the intention of having a look for Guitar Hero Metallica, which I found quite easily.
Yes.
See on this music game kick at the moment. That was 49 kroner. I thought that's fair enough for a Guitar Hero game. I didn't imagine it would be very expensive.
Yeah. You actually pre-presumed that you then had all the Guitar Hero games, didn't you?
No, and then you tell me I haven't got Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
Who wants Guitar Hero Aerosmith?
I'd buy it.
I bet you would.
I have Guitar Hero Van Halen, which is rather good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, but a
after,
bit of Van
after
Halen,
all
though.
The offshoots, you know, it got too much, I think, didn't it? There were too many Guitar Hero games released. I also picked up on a whim Ninja Gaiden Sigma for the PS3. Now, I've played Ninja Gaiden Black on the original Xbox and surprised myself actually getting quite far into it after hearing, you know, how difficult it was.
I've always wanted to play it. I've not really played Ninja Gaiden.
Here we are,
Gaiden
we can
yet.
Play this. You
we
know?
Can,
we have
yeah.
it on the PS3 now. And
we
again,
can do
that
a Tom Amat attempt.
Yeah, that was cheap, 49 kroner.
Cool.
Okay. And so in GameStop in Denmark, they have this deal on PS2 games where you can buy four 39 kroner.
It is.
Or 37 kroner, as it turned out.
Really?
Actually, it wasn't. It was 39 because he's a 49.
Ha ha ha.
Yep, 37. And what did I get? I got Digimon Digital Monsters Digimon World 4.
Wow.
That's a mouthful.
A title I know you've been after a very long time.
This was not the exciting one. This was the one I was like, I need to make up numbers here. So I had this. I thought the others were worth more than the 39 kroner I paid for all of them. So, yeah.
What is it? Is it an RPG game, an action game?
Actually,
what?
It sounds pretty good. Customizable Digimon, collect weapons, armor, and items. Like a dungeon crawler with Digimon.
Interesting.
You can play it before player. You can Digivolve. Play 16 different Digimon here. So it's like, it's more maybe like a four-player Skylanders type thing.
Okay, interesting.
Maybe. I'll find out.
We'll have a go.
I'll find out if the disc works, though, because having a look at it, it's not so
No, it's great. Not that great, Nick. And it's a bit of a shame, because actually the cover and stuff looked okay.
Yeah, it was quite misleading. But yeah, I'm willing to give that a go. One I'm a little bit more excited about, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Battle Nexus, or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Battle Nexus 2, but no, it even says it on the spine, 2 Battle Nexus. This is another four-player sort of beat 'em up.
Is it similar to the other one we had, the Smash Bros-esque one?
No, it's not competitive, it's cooperative.
Oh, okay,
it's
nice.
It's like the original
arcade
game. Which,
sweet.
One of the selling points for me for this one was you can unlock the original arcade game, which I don't have. I know at one point it was on Xbox Live Arcade.
I have it from Xbox Live Arcade,
and then it was dropped from
Xbox
Live Arcade.
It was.
Which is a shame. So I have it here. I have the NES version of the arcade game.
Yeah.
But this is the one
the
from
actual
the
arcade, yeah. Which I imagine would run pretty well on a PS2.
Yeah. I just wonder how much it takes to unlock that. That's what I'm
That's
thinking.
True.
This is a game I've been after for some time now, actually. I'd forgotten about it, but we're seeing it today reminded me. This is called Asterix and Obelix XXL2 Mission Las Vegas.
Okay.
Hmm.
Is this very similar to the other Asterix and Obelix game that I bought?
It's an action
way back
platformer.
When? Oh, really?
And I'm going to read to you a little bit about it. What it says in the back, anyway. Spoofishly insane, the first video game parody.
Well, looking at the front, I can kind of see something that looks a bit like Sonic, something that looks a bit like Mario, Lara Croft, and Pac-Man.
That's right. Confront the most famous character in the history of video gaming and discover over 100 icons of game screen of... Hang on. Discover over 100 icons of the game screen hidden among the levels. Access to levels like chapters on a DVD go directly to the start of each of the 9 theme zones in the park. No more frustration at never seeing the third level, even for the youngest players. Oh, that's considerate of
that's
them.
Interesting.
Furious combat featuring a dozen explosive attacks, outrageous combos, 30 minutes of original gut-busting animated sequences. And if you look on the back there, you can see Tetris and all these other games which are parodied within this action platform.
I think this might be interesting to do like a Let's Play of, because it looks kind of interesting.
I've seen footage of this, and it looks great.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, we'll give this a go.
Yeah.
good pickup.
Something about these Asterix games, you picked up one from GameStop as well, the Olympics one.
Yeah, that was great.
Also turned out to be rather good.
Yeah.
Okay, and lastly, was probably the game I was most after, was Kim Possible, What's the Switch?
Okay.
Why would I want this? Well, it's been well documented on the internet, this is a rather good game. A lot of reviewers, bloggers, YouTube users have featured this and talked about it rather favorably.
Who are Buena Vista Games? Have they done anything else of note, or is this just a flash in the pan?
It's developed by A2M, which I have played other games by, but I can't remember what they've done. But this is going to be a great 2D style retro platformer.
Okay, interesting, cool.
With some unique ideas, so look forward to that one.
We'll give that a go as well then.
How about that?
Interesting.
I don't think there's anything else I've bought. Not that I can remember anyway.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go back on my tirade of things then. I picked up Trials Fusion for the PS4. I'd not played a Trials game before and then thought, well, let's have a look how much the fuss is about. I tried to find a physical copy of it because you could buy for about £25, and it's since risen on Amazon because I guess they're few and far between. This physical copy came with the season pass, much like you can buy off of PSN.
Uh-huh.
And so you had all the unlocks and stuff when they released, but you also had a physical copy for your shelf. I couldn't find this in Denmark, and so I thought, well, I'm not really that sure if I'm really going to like Trials. It looks like a lot of fun.
It is.
It is. I really enjoyed it. And so I bought it without the DLC offers and the season pass and stuff. I just bought the regular game for 140 kroner. Mm. And it's a lot of fun. Like, I've not really played the other Trials game. Like, a lot of people say it's a step back from Trials Fusion, maybe, where the insanity's kind of toned down a little. What's the second one called?
I've forgotten what the second one was called. I've never played it, actually. I only played the first one.
Yeah, whatever the second Trials game is called, people say it's a step down from that. And so I was kind of a bit like
apprehensive
about maybe buying it. But I played it. I really enjoyed it. Like, it gives you a lot of options to see where your friends have raced and all this kind of stuff. So you can see kind of like ghosts of your friends racing on the tracks. So it kind of gives you extra incentive to beat them. Some very tricky things. It's a very challenging game, and to get the unlocks and the gold medals and stuff was actually kind of fun, and I kind of got suckered into doing the medals and the challenges. Probably not. For 140 kroner, I couldn't really complain about anything. No. It seemed like a pretty damn good game, to be honest. Maybe not on a par with the previous Trials games, but...
Well, you wouldn't know because you've not played
Evolution them. Is the second one.
Oh, well done.
Trials Evolution. But I look forward to playing a bit more of that. So I went to a flea market, as I tend to do in these summer months, because they only exist for 3 months. Yeah, I got a flea circus, actually.
Nice.
I put it in your bedroom. I picked up a few titles. I was looking around this flea market because I was like, right, I'm going to go to this one. It should be okay. It's supposed to be just for toys and all this kind of stuff. I had a walk around. I couldn't really see anything. I saw a really weather-damaged copy of Extreme G 3 for the PS2.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, it's like 2 kroner, but it just looks like it's not going to work. Like, the cover was all bleached.
Yeah, not a bad game, but
No, completely dead. I was just like, well, I might get something just to talk about on the podcast, but I talked myself out a bit. Picked up an Exo Force Lego set for our good friend Austin, just because he was there.
Oh, he was over the moon with that.
He loved it. And I was looking around, and I couldn't really see anything, and there was 2 stalls waiting to open that arrived late, and they were setting up, and so I kind of stuck back a bit and was like, well, I'll have a look what they have. And so the first one opened up and there's absolutely nothing, and then the second one opened up and I kind of went in there, and there were 1 or 2 things. There were a few Wii games, but there's nothing of note. And I was like,
no Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
No, do you know, like, I can't even think, like, Zoo Rescue, and, you know, like, these budget titles.
Yeah, they
really
didn't have Safari Wii, did they?
No, they didn't.
That's
why is that?
A great game. One of the greatest titles ever.
Safari Wii.
Yeah. It's a Japanese safari game. When at some point you collect animal poo.
Okay. I would have picked it up if it would have been called Safari Wii, I think.
I've never seen it, ever.
Yeah.
Apart from the copy that we bought amongst the Blast Processors, Dave and Mike.
Yeah.
We bought it between us off some website, some random website online, yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't see that, but it was just kind of like, you know, the basic Wii games that you'd pick up in a supermarket for like 15 quid not long after the Wii came out, like Phoenix Games style titles. And so I kind of walked away dejected. I was kind of like, oh, well, that's it. There's nothing new. And so as I started walking away, I realized that one of the stalls that I had looked at with DVDs and stuff on had boxes underneath the stall. And just as I was walking past, I saw a copy of Mario Party DS, which I picked up. Mm. I was like, oh, amazing. And so I looked at these boxes, and lo and behold, the boxes on the floor actually had games in them. I picked up a copy of Pokemon Pearl, which ended up having 215 hours or something like that worth of gameplay.
Yeah, a lot of Pokemon.
A lot of Pokemon, a lot of legendaries, yeah. Some legitimate level 100 Pokemon and stuff, which I was pretty happy with. Unfortunately, there's no way to get them onto X and Y.
Though? Because they could have been rare candied up.
I doubt it. The person who has lots of Pokemon, all of them seem to be caught at that level and stuff, so I don't think they've been rare candied.
Okay.
And so I was looking at the stuff in the box as well. Like I said, I got Pokemon Pearl, got Mario Party DS. I picked up Harvest Moon Back to Nature for the PS1, which is quite an obscure title. It goes for about £30-40 on eBay. And that was the cheapest of the lot, actually. It only cost me 10 krona. So I was very happy with that.
Nice.
Apparently, there's a glitch in the PAL version, which I'm a bit disappointed to find out. On the earlier runs of the game, if you get married in the game, it freezes. But you can find that out within like 10, 15 minutes of gameplay anyway. So I'm going to try it out and see if it's the version that glitches. And if it's the later run, which doesn't, is actually worth more. So fingers crossed it is one of the later ones because I really want to play it. I really enjoyed the Harvest Moon series. And then I picked up I picked up tennis for the Game Boy.
Tennis?
Because I went to the...
Purely tennis?
Purely tennis.
Not the Fantastic Mario tennis.
No, unfortunately not. It's like, you know, like Nintendo did the NES games, the black box, like golf and tennis and all that kind of stuff. It's the Game Boy equivalent to that.
With Mario as the umpire.
Yeah. But I went to pay for these games, and there was like a box of bric-a-brac stuff, and amongst that was tennis, which I grabbed because there was another guy reaching for it at the same time. So I went, whoop, and he bought Dr. Mario, but I already had it. There was a few Game Boy Advance games and stuff in there as well, but I didn't really look because the guy I was buying it off was being a bit of a pain in the ass. I was trying to barter with him on the titles I was buying.
Yeah.
I just wasn't having any of it. He just wouldn't go any lower or anything. Like, Harvest Moon, I didn't mind paying 10 krona for, but Pokemon, he wanted 50 krona for, and he wanted 50 for Mario Party DS as well, which is okay. I didn't mind paying it.
But if you can get it down.
If I could get it down, like, I tried to say, like, well, I'll take this tennis, which was 20 krona. Tennis is more expensive than Harvest Moon. I'll take it all the way for 100. He's like, no. I was like, well, this and this, blah, 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 blah. And he just said, well, like, no, it's Mario and Pokemon. I could sell them for more. Da, da, da. I was like, well, you sell them on a cardboard sale. I was just like, oh, fine. I just paid the money. I didn't really mind. But
and then he went,
if I go try and get him down, I was going to try and get him down. Short of that, I think that's pretty much my pickups this week. Yeah, I think that brings me to the end of mine. Which brings us on to news, Parry. News.
What's the news?
Lots of news.
I'm out of touch, to be honest.
For starters, the brilliant Thomas Was Alone, made by Mike Bithell, has sold 1 million copies now.
Woo!
Which is a pretty good achievement, I say. It's been out less than a year, and it's really stormed ahead and sold 1 million.
Everybody loves Thomas Is Alone.
It's a damn good game, that's why, Tom. I really urge those who haven't to pick it up. It's really good. I enjoyed it.
It was featured on, I think, our second podcast.
It was, which is called Thomas Was Not Alone.
Yeah.
Which is a cheeky pun.
And that was a long while ago now.
It was a long while ago. It was a year ago, in fact, Thomas. Something I'll get back to a little later on. PS4 update hits on April the 30th, set 1.70. And good news for PS4 owners who like to stream, Thomas. They're finally
having
the
option.
No. They may scream if it bricks their console, like as past patches have done, but I doubt this one will for some reason. It removes the HDCP. The copyright protection that is installed on the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4.
That's considerate.
Yeah, which means that the elaborate workaround we were doing to use PS4 games we won't have to do anymore, which is a load off my mind because it takes bloody ages to set up. Hooray!
That's better for everybody.
It is. They're also having the option, they're going to install a new editing suite, so you can edit your videos directly on the PS4. And you'll be able to save those to USB for the first time ever, as well as your photos you take in-game.
Ooh.
So that's kind of nice. Gives you options. Like, you have been able to share the photographs over Twitter and Facebook, but they kind of go low res. You can actually save them at the 1080p definition and then put it on a memory stick if you are a gaming journalist or anything and you want to blog about things.
This is a useful update.
It is, especially for folks like us who like creating content for people like you. Yay! New Phoenix Wright game, Thomas. Very excited.
Phoenix Wright versus Professor Layton?
No.
Oh, no, and you, that's already out. Yes, I saw people buying that in the UK when I was back
there. I really wanted to get it, but it's been expensive. I should have asked you to pick me up a copy while you were there, but I didn't think. This new game is actually with one of Phoenix Wright's ancestors, and it's set in the Meiji era of Japan, which is between 1868 and 1912. And the game's going to be called The Great Ace Attorney. And it's been said that it's not actually a sequel to Phoenix Wright. It's not Phoenix Wright number 6. But much like the Miles Edgeworthy series, it's going to be a whole new spin-off that kind of takes a new stance on Phoenix Wright, which I'm very excited for. Could be very cool. Hopefully we will see a physical copy of it and not just a download, because I like Mii boxes. One. Yeah, poor Dual Destinies forever. On my 3DS e-card instead of being on my
you
shelf.
You can't stick a sticker on that.
I can't, Tom. I just have to stick it on the back of my 3DS.
A sticker to say it's completed it, by the way, for those who are frequent listeners.
For those of you who are not frequent listeners, I'm so much of a nerd with my game completions that I sticker them so I know what I've completed. So when I buy ludicrous amounts of games like I have just this week, I can go, yeah, I probably shouldn't buy any more games.
Sense of achievement, I guess, when you put a sticker on there and you can sit down and you can think, yeah.
Yeah. Me on my own will admire.
I admire it. I often look over there and think, what's Matt not played yet?
Yeah, and there's a lot of it, Thomas. I tell you that. Oddworld New and Tasty has been confirmed as being a cross-buy.
Yes.
So for $29.99, probably about the same in pounds and kroner, I would imagine, you can get the game for PS3, PS4 and Vita. $29.99 in dollars.
Let's hope it's like...
probably about 20 quid, I imagine. Quid. Well, in all fairness, it's a full remake of the first game, which is one of my favourite games. Abe's Odyssey is a fantastic
and
title.
I know that the studio just had water. I've been working on this for an awful long time.
They have indeed.
Because a friend of mine, Liam Jones, who I've not seen for a very long time, was lucky enough to get work there.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah, and has been working on that particular game.
No, that's cool. Maybe we should have him in the podcast.
Yeah, I think he did an interview for blastprocess.com.
Really?
Once, but that was a long time
ago. We'll Skype him in, bringing you the latest in gaming news, everyone. Ha ha ha. Yeah, but I'm kind of cool with that. It's one of my favourite games. I've actually been looking for it in boot sales and stuff because my copy of Abe's Odyssey
was... Oh, if you want to play it, it's on my PlayStation.
Have we got it on the PlayStation? Yeah. Yay! I'm going to be tucking into that then. Is it on PSN? Is it on PS1 Classics?
Yeah.
Then I will be buying it and playing it on my trip next week.
Just recently, the Odd Box was on sale, which was Abe's Odyssey, Abe's Exodus, Stranger's Wrath, Munch's Odyssey, for about £5 for all of it.
I didn't see that.
It was everything.
Oh, well, I've only played the first... I've got Stranger's Wrath in multiple formats. Yeah. I think I actually have the PS3 copy. I bought it in the UK and then never played it.
Okay.
I need to get on that. I love the Abe's games, or at least the first two anyways.
Yeah.
There's also a little bit of news, Thomas, concerning Skylanders.
I've seen the trailer for the new game.
Yeah, Skylanders Trap Team is going to be coming out this Christmas. Unfortunately, it's not the Mario Kart-esque
Skylanders that you promised.
Well, they did tease it on their blog, but the premise for those of you with kids who are going, oh no, not another Skylanders game, you should kind of be a bit disappointed because it's not going to support the last portal you just spent 70 quid on. This new game will require a new portal because, as of this game, you will be able to, as the title suggests, trap enemies.
Trap masters.
Yes, so your Skylanders will be able to trap them. You'll be able to play with all the original 150 whatever Skylanders there is, almost as many as Pokemon now. But the gist of this game is you can trap enemies, kind of like capturing a Pokemon. And put them on a crystal, which you then plug into the base of the game. Apparently, though, the good thing is you can save the you can save them in the game, so it doesn't require a crystal for every single one of these enemies you capture.
But the actual process of capturing involves sticking the crystal in.
It does.
And pulling it out and putting it back in again. Yes. And they turn good.
They do.
Yeah.
But apparently, you need to buy all 8 elements worth of crystals.
Yeah, I knew so this was coming when I saw all the crystals, different crystals that you have to have in order to capture them.
Yeah. So, as well as the Pokemon aesthetic of getting all the Skylanders figures, you're now going to have to capture all the things in-game.
It's like buying your own Pokeballs.
It is, pretty much. It is kind of the equivalent of that, right? Yeah, with real money. I don't think Activision have said how much they're going to cost yet, but I'd imagine they probably run the same as a Skylander. Because
well, do you think they'll come with the Skylanders? You know, you buy a Skylander, it'll come with one.
I don't think so.
No, they'll be sold separately.
They probably will.
Because they're pretty dull things to buy separately, aren't they?
I guess so, but I mean...
They're not that interesting. They're different colours, different shapes.
Maybe they'll do them like they do the levels now. Maybe they'll package them in with 2 Skylanders for 20 quid, and then you pick up
probably
the...
Probably something like that.
Well, I'd imagine so. I think you'd probably be able to get them separate, though. They'd probably be maybe a little bit cheaper to have the incentive of you buying them.
Get them in cereal packets.
Maybe. Well, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? If you could kind of give them away as promotional things, would be nice.
If they still put things in blinking cereal packets.
No,
they
don't know.
Anymore, do they?
Probably
I
not.
I know in the UK they banished that.
Really? Yeah. They make a law against it?
I think there's a law against it, yeah.
Because it was promoting kids eating unhealthy cereals. Yeah. That's a shame.
It's same with crisps.
Really? Yeah. You can't put things in crisps anymore?
No.
What is the world come into?
You remember Tazos? Yeah, dusting off the residue from your packet of Quavers.
Yeah, actually, do you remember when the Spice Girls cheese and chive crisps were out?
No, I don't. I missed out.
There was a Spice Girls wave of cheese and chive crisps, and the £10,000 prize was actually bought from my mum and dad's shop. Usually, with all these promotions things, I would generally feel the packets and get the Tazos. Yeah. But unfortunately, I didn't like cheese and chive flavour crisps, so I didn't bother with the Spice Girls one. And then someone bought the packet of crisps with the £10,000 from my mum and dad's shop.
Oh.
Yeah. Damn you, taste buds. Damn you. Yeah, and that pretty much brings us to the end of gaming news. Thomas, would you
Fantastic.
Like to close us off with what's coming this week in the world of gaming?
New releases coming right up. Okay, so new releases.
Ooh.
Ooh, it's exciting, isn't it?
It is.
So what have we got? Well, first of all, we have the release. Can we talk about what was released this week as well?
Yeah,
the
sure,
23rd.
Go for it.
We had Soul Calibur Lost Swords, which is a free-to-play Soul Calibur game.
Ah, interesting. So it's following the same model as like Dead or Alive and Tekken then.
Yeah, I'd written this off, you know, already owning Soul Calibur 5, but then I realised that they announced Taki, who isn't a character in Soul Calibur 5.
Interesting.
So there is some reason to play this if you already own Soul Calibur 5.
Cool.
Walking Dead Season 2 is out on the PS Vita, and XCOM Enemy Unknown is on Android.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Well, I know they ported it to the iPad, and apparently it's a very good port.
Okay, so just released on Friday, we had Dark Souls 2 for PC and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle.
Okay.
Which I think is definitely worth picking up.
I was thinking about picking it up myself. I know you're going to get it,
though. The demo was really good, and I have a feeling this probably won't sell very well and probably will be a bit obscure and hard to
I think it will be a very low print run myself.
Yeah, so grab it while you can, fighting game fans. Next week... We've got a couple of games. We've got A Daylight, which is released on both PS4 and PC.
Yeah.
I know a little about this game. Do you know anything?
I've heard about it. I'm pretty sure it's like a horror first-person shooter or something. I'm not too sure.
That's Daylight. But more excitingly, Child of Light is released on the 30th of April.
Yes, and my copy will be coming then.
And that is available on everything, surprisingly.
It is, yeah.
I didn't think it would get this kind of release.
Blanket release. Is it on Wii U?
Yes, it's on Wii U.
Oh, that's fantastic. I pre-ordered for the PS4 because it comes with a cross-buy for PS3, but it also comes with a nice art book and stuff. I paid 15 quid for it to get it on a physical box, though there's no disc in it, apparently. It's just a download code, but it comes with a load of nice things, so I wanted to pick it up.
I did say it was on everything. It's not on Vita or 3DS, but maybe down the line we'll get a Vita version.
Perhaps, yes. Yeah.
Probably not a 3DS version.
No, I don't.
Who knows? It's Ubisoft. They release Rayman games on 3DS.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's PC, Xbox One, Xbox 360, Wii U, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 3. Now, this looks like a great game.
I'm really excited to play it.
A game which is meant to come out sometime in April. It's better hurry up. Octodad Deadly's Catch.
I believe it's coming out soon. I believe it's out next week. I don't.
April.
Yeah, it's. It was given an April release. I believe if it wasn't this Tuesday, it's next Tuesday. So okay. I think it may just be on the cusp of the month on the 30th.
That's a fun game if it's, yeah, the demo's anything to go by.
I've played the demo in Bilka.
I played in GameStop.
Yeah, actually. But it's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and we can look forward to the week after to playing Stick It to the Man on the Wii U. That's the 1st of May.
Sweet.
Does it give you an extra bonus?
I'll play it on my PS4 because it's also out there as well.
It is. On and it's
free on
Plus.
PlayStation Plus. Yay!
And there's some game for iPad called Botanical Cooler.
Botanical. Okay. Maybe I'll look that up. Actually, I played a game on the iPad called Faster Than Light. I won't delve into it now because we're running on in time. But great game. Honestly, pick it up. It was originally on Steam. Essentially, it's about you traveling through space on a spaceship and the hazards that come into space travel. I'll let you play it later, Thomas. It's really good.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that brings us to a close, I guess. That's the end of the podcast. So I'm going to talk about the amazing contest.
Hooray!
Essentially, our friends at Games World Bod have kindly donated a Pixel tea that was available for the month of April, as they were also celebrating their one-year anniversary.
Yay!
So whenever you bought a Pixel tea from Games World Bod, you would receive this cool white Pixel t-shirt for free. We have now got one of those that we are willing to give away. Also, to celebrate our 1 year, I thought I'd be really nice and give away either 3 months of live, 3 months of PSN, or a games voucher for Games World Bodmin, so you can pick up some retro games if that's your bag. However, Thomas, as we are 1 year old, and I believe that this podcast should maybe be a little bit promoted by some of our listeners, hopefully anyways, I've come up with a cunning plan. Essentially, what I'm going to do
wait
is...
wait for this.
I'm going to, kind of in the Kickstarter way, I'm going to tier the rewards for this contest.
No.
And the more people promote this podcast, the more followers, subscribers, and reviews we get on iTunes, I am going to raise the stakes of the prizes. If you're an old listener and you've already rated and subscribed on iTunes, then just send us a screen grab and we'll include you in this as gratis. Obviously, I know there's a few people.
When you say send a screen grab?
Yeah, just take a screenshot of your review in iTunes. Oh, okay. And then send it over to us and I'll include you in the contest as gratis. I'm going to, for the next prize, if we can get to 30 reviews in iTunes, I'm going to not only include a Game Boy with a copy of Kirby's Dream Land, a cart only, but I may consider raising the amount of live / PSN given. If we get up to 40, I will definitely make that up to 12 months of live.
Yeah. And you'll come around the house PSN. And give you a kiss.
Maybe I will. maybe I'll Skype to people and wish them a happy birthday. Who knows? But yeah, that's the start of it. The idea is pretty much we've never charted in iTunes in the UK, and I want us to chart in the iTunes in the UK. And so...
this is available to everyone.
It is available to everyone, of course. But generally, reviews and stuff will generally help us chart everywhere. And we want to spread the word. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter who said they really like the podcast. Our listenership seems to be growing. And so please just do us a solid and give us a review in iTunes. And as such, we will reward you, first of all, with a t-shirt
quite
and
generously.
Stuff. And yeah, and then eventually into Game Boys and retro gaming territory. I have big plans if we can actually get high in the charts in iTunes, which I shall reveal closer to that happening if it does. But yeah, suffice to say, I'm willing to throw some cool prizes down.
And remember that when you review us.
Exactly. We're not asking for five-star unanimous reviews. Be honest with us, because we want to improve this podcast.
That's all we want. And we want to improve. We want to hear your feedback. We want to get as many people listening to this as possibly can. We just want to spread the word, really.
We do. And we want to grow as a podcast. We've got some cool guests lined up for the upcoming months, which we'll talk about once they're actually confirmed. But suffice to say, there's going to be some cool stuff happening on this podcast. And we're going to grow, hopefully. And we need your help, people. Get on board. If you want to review us on iTunes, you can find us there. You can subscribe to us through there, too, at the website, tomandmattattack.com. You can also look at us in Stitcher. Give us a cheeky follow on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. And subscribe on our YouTube channel, which we will now be uploading more videos to because we have a new Mac. Yay!
You should see it.
It's big. A beaut. 27 inches of pure glory. So yeah, please help us subscribe. Ooh. Promote to your friends. Tell them, hey, if you like gaming, you should listen to Tom and Matt Attack. And until next time, guys, game on.
Game on.